It's the Hip Hop Matrix Show.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back.
It's the Hip Hop Matrix Show with Jay Hall and DJ Academics.
All I'm offering is the truth, nothing more.
Let's get it.
Yeah. What up, what up, what up, what up? Myself, Jay Hall. This guy right here, DJ Academics. It's the Hip Hop Matrix Show. What's good, brother?
What's happening, homie, man? Well, I mean, I know what's happening. It's
right.
Time in the culture now.
Well, I'm going to start off with something a little bit fresh. At the moment, I'm exhausted. My niece was in town for her college tour. So.
You took her to the other HU.
No, I took her to the HU, which is Howard University. And we took her to a couple other colleges around the area and had her meet some alumni, some people who went to other colleges and stuff like that, man, organized a brunch for her so she can have conversations with them about their college experience or even regular folk who just want to give their insight on the decision that you make when you come out of high school. Because, you know, it's important that when you come out of high school to understand that that's the first important decision you're going to make when you make your transition from student to adult, you know? So it was good, man, but I'm just tired. I'm just tired, bro. Like the energy it take for it, like I'm just tired. But it's good, man, to kind of look back and be able to do things with my niece that I had to struggle with. You know, you and I was talking off mic about how this is her junior year and it's important for her to get all this information and things she's trying to get, like her junior year. So senior year, she can just make a decision. And you and I were talking about how we ain't know that.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? We were just like floating in the wind, you know what I mean? Like, it just shows you how things have changed and what you try to prevent the next generation to do. So I never thought I'd be in this position, but I'm glad I am, you know what I mean? Because I'm in a position where I can tell somebody who's been looking up to me or who's under me and be like, hey, don't do that. Trust me. You want to get on the ball about this now, you know what I mean? And let me supply you with something that I didn't have. Like, I didn't have a network. I didn't have people around me that was college-oriented. I didn't have people around me I was the only dude on my block who graduated from high school. So after I was 15, I was on my own as far as getting some sort of insight. You know what I mean? So it was real good to kind of take her around and go through that. And she's very much so interested in going to out-of-state school. So that's cool because I'm an advocate of any child going out-of-state. Unless you live down the street from Yale University, I'm sorry, go down-of-state. But even if you live down the street from that, go out-of-state. Out-of-state is the best experience you can have, because half the experience is what you're going to get as an adult, you know, being out, you know, in the wilderness. So that's been my weekend, man. I feel like I've been working overtime every single day, but it's been all good. It's good to have her, you know, in town, man. What about you? How was your week?
My week was cool up until, you know, the inevitable bombshell that happened to the culture.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I was trying to, you know, there's no way you could not get around that, you know, hearing the news about Nipsey Hussle. And, you know, it was April 1st, so I really thought people around me were joking. Or I thought that they were being fooled. I was like, come on, man, it's April 1st. I'm not. I wasn't even bothering Googling it. Then it kept popping up and kept popping up and kept popping up. Like, I was at my job and people were talking about, where were you when you heard the news?
Where was I? I don't even know. I don't know where I was, because it was a Sunday.
Yeah.
It was a Sunday. I believe I was just home.
Yeah.
What was I doing last Sunday? Yeah, I believe I was just home.
Yeah. It was so crazy because I feel.
And then IG went up and I was like, hold on. Like, come on now. Nah, I ain't getting it. Nah.
Yeah. I feel like we just saw him somewhere.
Well, he just did an East Coast run. And towards the end of the year for Victory.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, he just did an East Coast run where he hit the clubs, everything. And I was mad that I missed him when he came to the station that day, too. Now I'm even madder that I missed him when he came to the station that day.
Because I feel like he was just around.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like,
he just did an East Coast run, promo run.
Yeah, you know, and it's sick, man, because, you know.
Was it early this year? I think it was probably early this year.
Well, the
like
Victory
January.
Lap album came out early in.
Well, late.
It
was late. It was like November.
To my Victory Lap?
I think so.
No, it came out early. He was like at the top of the year. Top of 2018.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Top of 2019?
2018. 2018? Yeah, 2018, bro. He's at the top of 2018.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah. He had one of the best albums of 2018. Like, I'm on record for saying that. It was definitely one of the best albums of 2018.
Yeah, and speaking of which, he actually, since that release, since his death, he's actually got over 6 million streams.
Mm.
And he's re-entered, the album has re-entered the Billboard Top 100 at number 2. So 64,000 copies since his death. And that's big because he actually owns all the music. And
I mean, I was straight riding with Status Symbol 3.
Yeah.
That was part 3. That was my favorite track.
Like, Blue Laces. Real big.
Last time I checked, the one with CeeLo Green, like
Dedication. I mean, I was rocking when the album first hit. I mean, of course, over time, you know, you go move on to different music because that's just our attention span nowadays. But yeah, when it first hit, I was banging that nip.
And to be honest with you, I was going back to it. There were times where, say, like, you know, it'd be a dead weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, no music really popped out, like nothing was really going on. Then I would definitely have the nip, you know, close by and putting it back in rotation. You know, of course, when his death came, it was all sorts of, like, the thing that I saw that I don't think we've seen in a long time because, you know, Pac died over 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Was all these conspiracy theories.
Yeah, and I wanted to believe it so bad.
That just blossom out. Now, you tell me which one, okay, because I know I text you. And I didn't know.
And I was all in on the conspiracy.
I didn't know if you was joking or not. Like, I was like, is he joking? Like,
I was serious at the moment.
Because your sense of humor sometimes be a little, like, you know, off center sometimes.
I was all in. I wanted
and you don't
to believe
say LOL a lot.
I wanted to believe the conspiracy.
So
I was making myself believe it.
What conspiracy was that you went?
The Dr. Sebi. Because he was making a documentary, and they did kill Dr. Sebi because he was putting out the information about he had a cure for AIDS, cancer, and all this stuff through,
so you all,
through
you,
natural.
You're one of the people that feel like they killed Dr. Sebi.
Of course.
You believe he died. You believe he was killed.
Yeah, if he got a cure for all the diseases, how he going to die from it?
Okay, so you believe he had a cure for all the diseases. You believe that? Like there was a cure for AIDS and all that good stuff and cancer.
I believe there definitely is a cure for AIDS. I mean, I'm a...
Tell the truth.
I'll say
tell,
economics,
tell your truth.
Economics, financial, a realist when it comes to stuff like that. The money ain't in the cure. The money's in the comeback.
See, I've always...
let's keep them alive and keep them coming back to keep them alive. And then when we finished, when we done ran his course like polio did, then we give him the cure. It's too early to give him the cure.
See,
right now.
Man, I don't know, man. I always
we need
feel
to
like,
come out with a bigger disease first that's knocking people out. Then they'll come up with a cure for AIDS.
I always felt like it was a little bit bigger than that because I felt like there are people who are working hard to make form of cure. And you talk to any doctor or whatever that can explain AIDS to you in the most simplest form, it's a little bit more complicated than that because I remember when we learned in school that technically there's no cure for the common cold. Like, the common cold is a virus, and all you're doing with your medications and in your system is making the common cold go to sleep. And AIDS, HIV being a virus that it is, it's 10 times, 100 times worse than that.
Of course.
So if you ain't got a cure for technically the common cold, I'm like, yo, so they just don't, there's no cure for nothing in a sense? Like, I don't know, man, about how much I believe in the fact that there's more money in the cure. I think it's one of those, narrative things that people keep saying over time and we just kind of like have believed it. But the Dr. Sebi, there are a lot of people who didn't even know who he was and they were believing that conspiracy. They were believing that that's why he died. And he was making a documentary about him because he thought that his life was interesting. I haven't heard Nipsey say on record that he believed Dr. Sebi. He was more like, yo, his life was interesting. I thought that what he was doing was he had lived an interesting life. And people were just running with it. Running with it.
Yeah, I ran with it. I jumped off the cliff with it. I was all
totally
in.
Forgetting.
All because of this daggone documentary. They kept him.
I mean, like, all this, and people putting up quotes like, you better ride for me, all this other stuff. Like,
well, Nipsey did say that. He said, if they kill me for this documentary,
y'all
better
ride. Where
did
he say that at? Seriously, I'm dead serious. I'm not even being an a-hole. Like, where
well,
did he say
quoted,
that?
They quoted him saying that.
They did, but when did he say it? I saw people
There's
saying
no video of him saying it.
That's my point.
So you don't think he ever said that?
Dog, I mean...
Okay. You think that was a part of the conspiracy they put up? Okay.
I'm just saying
well,
that.
Well, I mean, you could be right. You could be right. Because, I mean, I don't know. But I jumped off the cliff. I knew that. I just wanted to believe something.
I'm just saying people were putting
something
stuff,
better than the inevitable. I wanted to believe something then.
Just like everybody wanted to believe that Jay-Z got his family, his kids a trust fund. And that turned out to not to be true.
Yeah, that turned out not to be true, too. But that is very believable, though, because Jay-Z does move like that. Like, he'll just, boom, and just do something just out of the craziness. And just like how they bailed out all the people from the riot in Baltimore. And I actually know the one of the ones that they bailed out.
When you say they bailed them out, you mean like Hov and them bailed them out?
Hov and Beyonce bailed out for the Baltimore riots, all the people that were arrested in the riot.
The Baltimore Rebellion.
Yes, Baltimore Rebellion. Yeah, for that Freddie Gray. They bailed out everybody that was arrested in the riots.
Okay. But
and I actually know one of the guys who actually was one of the main faces. When you go back and look up, and he was like the one talking in the middle of the street, and then like a Hummer goes by, and then he disappears in the Hummer as the Hummer drives past. Like, he's one of the main ones. They bailed out every last one of the guys.
Well, it was also a little bit quick because, I mean, I know Jay-Z can make miracles, but it takes longer than 24 hours to set up a trust fund, especially for $21 million.
Well, it was $15 million. That was the
I read 21. But here's another reason 15. Why it was kind of easy for people to kind of believe, because two of Jay-Z's like main homeboys had put it up. Biggs had posted it up. Sean Peckers, I think that's how you pronounce his name. He posted it up. But to me, when you looked at the meme itself, it never cited the source. Like, it never said where the source is coming from. Like, everybody was just reposting the same thing. And I felt like that was almost disrespectful, because you almost kind of say, you take someone like Nipsey, he was a business owner. He was like a Hov on another level.
Yeah, he was a younger version of Hov.
Yeah.
He was on that. He even said he hustled a Hov away. He said it on Hustle and Motivate.
He said he got
$1 million life insurance on his flesh, on his $1 million policy on his flesh. He said that on Victory Lap.
But he also like worked with STEM Research or something like that too, or did some works with that. He did a lot of works. He owned a lot of businesses.
Yes.
With the things that he was doing.
Everything. Right. He owned the marathon, he owned the gas station, he owned the shopping center.
I said to say that his kids were taken care of through him. It's not like Hov had to come in and say, and that's my point. It's
there's no GoFundMe needed for Nip. I promise you that.
Not saying they wouldn't take it, but I'm just saying, like, there's no, like you said, there's no GoFundMe for that.
Yeah, there's definitely, Nip's family don't need no GoFundMe. They are good. They are good. And the fact that everybody I was talking about just supporting his music and continue to support his music and streaming it and doing all that stuff, that helps him. I mean, that helps him continue to support his family even though he's not here. So that's one way that if you want to support him, just keep his music alive, which I'm sure will probably be alive forever now. And on top of that, I believe he's going to become a martyr and in the likes of a Big, in the likes of a Pac. And because they're saying now, and even more, I believe, maybe even more than Pac, because in California, and I'll say not in whole California, I'll say maybe in L.A. by itself, because, and I actually heard one guy say that he's the first, like, actual L.A. artist to actually die like that. Pac repped L.A., but he wasn't from L.A. Well, he was the first L.A. born and bred.
Yeah.
Like, Pac
was really living in the Bay.
Yeah, Pac was.
When
Pac
he
was,
moved to he, California, he really was living in the Bay, which is Northern
Pac
Cali.
Pac was born in the Bronx.
Right.
He lived in Harlem. He was born in the Bronx. He moved to Harlem, moved to Baltimore, moved to Marin City. And then that's where he set up shop. And then he got signed. And, of course, he ended up in L.A. because that's where, you know, that's the big market. So that's where all the business is. So he ended up in L.A. So he wasn't, Pac was never from L.A. He was just adopted and just repped it and just wore the flag on his back. So they embraced him. But Nipsey is the first L.A. artist born and bred to actually go down like that.
I don't want to lose this real quick, and pardon me for a second, but one reason why I feel like the Dr. Sebi conspiracy was some BS is because I felt like it was also disrespectful to the family. Like, you wasn't allowing the family time to process. You wasn't allowing them, the family and friends, for them to process what just happened. You weren't allowing them the proper steps it takes for them to mourn. I mean, he had a family within himself, and he had friends. He had people that knew him personally. So to come up with these conspiracies off top before we were just even trying to understand what happened, I felt like was unfair. You understand? Like, it was totally disrespectful to, you know, his partner, Lauren London, his kids, you know, him being a son, him being a brother. Shout out to his brother. The gentleman's name is Black Sam, you know what I mean, who showed up there when he got the call and things like that nature. So it's like his body wasn't even cold before we start having these conspiracy theories of you thinking like the government riding on him. And it's almost like that every time Black people do something, whether we do something really, really great or we die very, very tragic, it always got to be some sort of mystic thing that happens to us. It's like if we make a grand achievement, you tell like a Beyonce and a Jay-Z, oh, it's the Illuminati. Oh, there's no way they would have got the Illuminati. It has nothing to do with their hard work. You guys ain't thinking Elon Musk signed with the Illuminati. You know what I mean? You guys ain't thinking that Bill Gates and them signed with the Illuminati. But when one of us make a certain achievement and we get to a higher form, all of a sudden we had to make a deal with the devil. Like, we had to sell our soul for some cookies for us just to get to that level. And I never understand that. You know what I mean? When we die, it's almost like, oh, well, you know, they was out to kill him because he was out here trying to help black people. And it's like, okay, I have Sharpton still walking around here. Like, yeah, I get it. America does have a history of killing black people who are trying to do something, but that's not that. Like, that is what we, you know, seeing being revealed was something totally different. And what is wrong with waiting to see the facts actually unravel before you start coming up? I mean, you have people writing full-fledged think pieces on the whole conspiracy and drawing the dots and the connection and all of that. So my thing is, if he was killed for making a documentary on a Dr. Sebi or anybody else, then Dr. Sebi got family, I think, that's alive and people who still follow him. Why ain't they dead? Why ain't anybody else suffer from that or anything like that? It was just too much for people to take it to that far, and I just didn't understand that. It was disrespectful. Like, why would you even do that? You know what I mean? Why can't we process? I don't understand this rush society where we got to rush to these conclusions all the time. Why we can't just allow such situations to be like, yo, this is bad.
We just get caught up in the moment, because I did, and I just wanted to believe something. I don't know. I just wanted to believe it was a conspiracy. Something had to be bigger. Somebody like him just couldn't go out like that. He was too embedded in that community, too loved, too respected. And nah, not like that.
I will admit, and I hate to, I'm not going to be afraid to say this, but I will admit one thing when it came to Nipsey episode, when I heard about it, is that it stuck with me a little bit deeper than the past couple of deaths we had, because I realized how long Nipsey had been around. And I realized how much I've been following his career. Because, you know, sometimes we look at people and we tend to forget how they used to look. Like, I forgot I've been following Nipsey before the brother even had the beard.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I forgot I was following him when he was on the XXL. He was part of the freshman class. Like, he was a part of so many things that had happened in times of my life when me and you were coming up in this career. You know what I mean? In our careers. Like, he's somebody, like, around the same period of time you and I was just getting our feet wet doing what we was doing. And it feels different. Like, this death feels impactful to me. And I didn't even know the brother, you know, personally. I just seen the things that he's done. And I knew people that knew him that said, yo, man, that dude good. I mean, from the moment he came out, like, he's not somebody that, like, start talking this righteousness, like, soon because his life got so crazy. He came out in the game talking about real estate, black empowerment, how we can own land, property. The dude was talking like that when he was, like, a kid. Who talks like that?
He was a student.
And you know what makes him different from Pac and a lot of other people is that he actually was putting action into the things that he was doing. And that might be what make him, his situation, hit harder than Pac.
Well, I will tell you this. He was a lot older than Pac. Pac was 25. He died at 25.
But that also shows you how life is real. Like, if you give someone time to get there,
yeah,
look what they can accomplish.
Yes.
And if he did that at 33, what he could have done at 43, 53.
Yeah.
Because you're right, Pac was 25.
And I'll say this, Pac wasn't on an ownership thing. Pac was more of the revolutionary as far as the gatherer.
And Pac was trying to get out of his contracts, too.
Correct. He was trying to get out of his contracts, too. So, and he had some legal binds. Like, Pac didn't have the money that he should have had at those times. Mm-hmm. He was bonded up with a lot of lawsuits and a lot of cases on him. So he had a lot of lawyers in his pocket. You have Suge in his pocket. It just wasn't. Pac died with $100,000 in his bank account,
mm-hmm.
which is not a lot compared to you just sold 9 million records.
There are people working 9 to 5s who have more than that.
Yeah, like Pac died with $100,000 in his bank account. So, he was trying to, but Pac even said, that's where I got off of that. Pac said this, I may not be the one to change the world, but I guarantee I'll spark the mind. So he was the one, the motivational speaker and the guidance. He wasn't, maybe if he'd have lived to 30, he could have transitioned into the one.
And we also got to keep in mind, Pac never expected to live long. And we forget that too. He had been telling us he was about to die.
Because he was receiving real death threats from.
But he never believed it. Even before the death threats, you take family and friends, he never believed he was going to live a long life.
Correct.
So he was somewhat preparing us for the longest that
He came from. He came from the Black Panther where he saw his whole support system taken out.
Yeah,
so, that's real. Mean, like, it was a war on the Black Panthers.
And you know what? That's crazy because in Huey Newton's book, and that's weird that you even touch on that, in Huey Newton's book, the first few pages, Huey Newton talk about how he was asking Panther members, yo, who do you want us to contact when you die? And people were frozen because he had learned through, I think, a Cuban revolutionary who said in his book, yo, if person isn't prepared to die, then they shouldn't be here. Like, you have to understand, like, you're not going, you might not be a martyr. You might literally just be
a pawn
who just might die. But who do we need to contact? Because the struggle, the movement is going to go on, but we want to make sure your family is good. And Pac came up through that ideology of like, okay, the stuff that you're saying, you're not going to be here long for that. The stuff that you're doing, you're not going to be here long for that. So in a lot of ways, to your point, we never got a chance to see Pac get the 33 or whatever because he never expected to be there. But that's a testament to show you that if you live long enough, look what you can accomplish.
You can transition.
Like, you can evolve. You can, there's an evolution. Look at Jay-Z. Can you imagine Jay-Z would have died at 26?
Of course, Muhammad Ali is on record saying, if a guy views the world at 50 the same way he did at 20, he wasted 30 years of his life.
Period. There's no question about that.
He's wasted 30 years of his life. Bro. I'm the exact same age as Nipsey. I definitely don't view
my viewpoint of last year is different.
The way I did at 20. I mean, I own property, so I mean, I am an investor. I'm watching my money, and my money ain't funny.
Right.
So I mean,
like I'll call the cops on you.
Oh yeah, I have. Yeah. You know what? I have grown up so much, and I've realized this because I had a situation at my office at my business with an ex guy. Who's trying to, you know, weasel his way back in. And I was like, look, he was getting the hostile. I'm like, look, why can't I be here? I said what I said. Then I was like, look, I said what I said. I want you out of my office. That's it. But why? I said what I said. That's it. How many times do you want me to tell you? And I picked up the phone.
Why?
911. Yeah. I need somebody to come out to 6604, blah, 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 blah.
Like, you got to go.
Like, you know what? I'm not playing these games with you.
Oh, that's right.
I'm not playing these games 2019. Nah, we're not going to go back and forth. I said what I said. I'm done. Now, if you still here, that's on you.
Bro, so this past week, you know, I'm a counselor. I work with kids or whatever. My kids were doing this project where, you know, they were in front of these business owners and they was pitching sales ideas, right? So to make a long story short, the whole situation goes well. And I'm not going to name where I work at because that'd be disrespectful. But the whole situation goes well, right? The kids come outside, two of my boys, they see some local dudes. Boom, they get into it. It's a huge scrap out there on a main street in D.C., and I'll tell you about it off mic so you'll know. We out there. Dude, I'm out there, right? Mm. I'm pulling people apart. I'm grabbing grown men and kids all day long. So I finally get all my kids on the bus. I'm like, yo, y'all stay on this bus, right? The young dudes that was beefing with my kid, they throw them, you know, shooting signs at the kids at the bus stop, everything. So I saw some officers in front of the bus. Mm. So I get off. I say, officer? These gentlemen right here are not with us, and they are threatening my young men. Mm. One of my young boys is like, oh, man, you going to go to the cops? Yes, you're right. I pay taxes.
I ain't on that taxes no more.
Bro, I ain't on. Now, mind you, did I feel that, you know, back in the day, would I have just got off the bus and been like, you are my little homies, you know what I'm saying, and woo, woo, woo? Yeah. I ain't on that no more, bro. Right.
West Coast stuff right there.
I ain't on that no more. You know what I'm saying? Like I saw the cops. I said, officer, I mean, I even did the point. You know how they do it to me? I even was like this. He right there. You know what I'm saying?
Right there.
Tank top jeans. The one who's throwing the gun signs. That's him, sir. Go get him. You understand? I ain't got time for that, dog. I'm not a street dude. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not a street dude. And that's what leads me to the next thing is, do you think Nipsey was meaning keeping it too real? Because he was in front of his store, and his store was in the hood. And for what we saw has come out on camera, the alleged shooter, and I have to say alleged, even though we all saw it on video, named Eric Holder.
I ain't going to say alleged. They
looked like there was a tension argument or whatever the case may be. He shot Nips. You know what I'm saying? He came back, shot him again, came back, shot him again, right? It's been said that the reason why Nipsey didn't have his security is because he was going to his store to get clothes for a homeboy who was just getting out of jail. And he wanted to make sure that the clothes he was wearing was right before he went to see his family. So he was doing a favor. So he ain't called security. He ain't called nobody. He just left out. Mm-hmm. Right? Was that keeping it too real? Because if you don't go back to your neighborhood, you don't do nothing good, they call you a sellout and you're wrong. But we see continuously what happens when people are going back to a neighborhood. Who is my man? Pardon me if I'm correct, if I'm wrong. Fredro Santana? Am I tripping?
Fredro Santana.
Am I tripping? French Montana's my boy.
My Yams?
No, man. Not Yams, man. Yams out of a drug. What's my man name who's French Montana boy who got murdered riding around in the Bronx?
Oh, Chink.
Chink. I'm sorry, man. My apologies to anybody. Chink. He was riding around his neighborhood, right? And I remember Nori was saying, yo, somebody told him a long time ago when he rode through the hood, say, what's up? They was like, yeah, don't come back here. Mm. So it was like, what do you do on that? And I say that as somebody, when I go back home, I go back to my old neighborhood, dap up my big homies or whatever. But sometimes there've been some daps when I'm like, I don't know how many times I shouldn't come back. I don't know if I ride through this block. Cause I come from, and you know me, man, I don't really like to really put this out there as no braggadocious, but I live on that block. I come from that block that they advertise to you on Detroit that scares people, right? Mm. And that's not all of Detroit. But that block that they advertise to you, that's my neighborhood, right?
Yeah.
My neighborhood has the one light in the entire neighborhood, the trees that you can't see, the abandoned houses, people living, you know what I mean? So when I ride through, I got to do the clap, clap, let everybody know I'm not whatever, so dudes can come out remember me. But how often am I going to keep doing that?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I got to check myself. So was Nips being too real? Was that an example of keeping it real, like keeping it too real?
Nah, I just think he was just in the wrong place at the wrong time because what the story is, what happened is the guy, I guess he was around and Nip, you know, sticking to the code. Like, you know who you are. Your rep is you. You're a rat. Like, I can't be seen with you. You got
to
go.
He was rumored to be an informant.
Yeah, like you were informing. You told you broke the code. You know, I can't be seen with you. So he asked him to leave. And I heard it was, and what they're saying, it was politely. It wasn't in like a disrespectful tone or he wasn't going off. And guy couldn't feel it, couldn't take that in his spirit, and it was eating at him, and he came and did what he did, and Nip was just down a humble because he was picking up the clothes and making sure everything was right. So he kind of thought he was going to be in and out. And you know, as we all brothers do, we think we're going to be somewhere in and out. We get to stopping and talking to somebody.
Yeah.
And then next thing you know, we there for 2 hours.
Yeah.
So, and that's just how it go.
Yeah.
And that's just.
He also shot more than one person, too, did
it? Yeah, he hit three of them.
Did they die, too?
No, they didn't die. The other two lived.
But they're not. Are they able to tell what happened yet, or they're still kind of in critical
condition? I'm not sure. But it was three people that was hit, though.
And I think that's something important. I mean, nothing against Nip, but we need to acknowledge that this gentleman shot three people. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Nip was the person of interest.
Famous. Right.
He was the person of interest.
Right.
He shot the other two probably to make sure that he could get away. He probably shot the other two in defense of himself to try to make sure, you know, that he wouldn't, that they couldn't get a hold of him. So, but Nip was the one he was coming after.
I mean, one of the conspiracies.
We could see that in the video.
One of the conspiracies is that the getaway car was already ready. So a lot of people feel like it was a professional hit, but.
She actually turned herself in.
And she's off.
Yeah, apparently. Because she said she didn't know what was going on. She just knew, thought she was giving him a ride or whatever, and they let her go.
And you know, but to be honest with you,
she sung like a bird.
Hey, but let's be real though. What getaway driver is going to admit is not going to tell that story?
True.
I mean, so I understand certain conspiracies, right? In that sense.
If I was her, I would get out of California right now.
Yeah. But I understand certain people feeling a certain type of way because
what I heard, a couple people in Eric Holder's family already did.
So, but my point is if you're that kind of person, I can understand why you can have a conspiracy when it comes to that because why exactly would a getaway driver like get away, especially like in LA? So I can understand the mindset of someone who's already ready to think a conspiracy in the first place. You know what I mean? And why you would think it looks suspect? Because when you look at the video, she almost like she was already ready with the car running. Mm. But maybe both things are true. Maybe she was sitting in the car and she was just waiting on him. Like you said, he got out the car like, yo, hold up. Because there's been a couple times I've done that. Like if I see you with somebody driving, I'm gonna say, yo, hold up for a second, I'm gonna hop out the whip. That don't mean I know what you about to do. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I don't know about that, but I'm with you. For her sake.
Oh, yeah, she's done.
She's
done. Like, the shooter, his best chances was to turn himself in because they
and
was
he,
hunting.
And he got caught, right?
Yeah, they got caught. He definitely got caught, but he was definitely a dead man walking. I heard they was hunting him.
Well,
and they found two of his family members.
Did you peep that who his lawyer is?
Yeah, the person who prosecuted OJ.
Chris Darden.
Yeah, not who people were defending him, the Kardashians and them, but the people that were trying to prove him guilty.
And he's already pleaded not guilty.
Yeah.
Now, you plead not guilty, you on camera, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're on camera. Now, I don't know. Chris Darden ain't been around literally since that trial, since that situation. Last time I heard about Chris Darden is when they had the OJ movie last year and we was all watching it.
Uh-huh.
And they made Chris Darden like a fool because they made Johnny Cochran look like just playing him all over the chessboard. Mm-hmm. Because Chris Darden is also the one who made OJ try on the glove. And the prosecuting team was begging him not to do that because they knew that the trying on the glove situation was going to be, it'd be better to have the image of the glove versus OJ actually trying it on.
Mm-hmm.
But Johnny Cochran baited Chris Darden into making him say trying the glove. So once the glove won't fit, he knew he had the jury. So Chris Darden been made a fool out of and been feeling that way for years. And he felt like that he was on the wrong side of history because at the time he was being called a sellout, everything like that, and people wasn't really rocking with him because he was prosecuting OJ. And now us know what we know about OJ now, he probably feel like going on the opposite side just for the sake that he feels like, well, I was right before and nobody believed me, so let me be right again. But, bro, this is on camera, bro.
Yeah.
OJ wasn't on camera.
Yeah, there was no surveillance cameras for OJ.
None. Whatsoever.
Nothing. It's just smoke and mirrors and what everybody wants to believe at this point.
Yeah. Like
what you want to believe because nobody really knows.
Nobody should want to go down in history for being Googled for the wrong thing. Chris Darden, you already went down in history. You at least, with time, people could look back and say, like they have been, right? People, a lot of people feel like now, especially black people, yo, OJ was guilty.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I always had one philosophy was, to me, when I'm in a barbershop, OJ guilty. When I'm at the office, OJ is innocent. That's just how I was looking at life, right? That's just, I'm sorry. Even now, when I'm around a bunch of white people, they're like, man, he was guilty of sin. I'm like, kick rocks. You know what I'm saying? Well, I'm around a bunch of brothers, and they're like, man, I still don't believe it. I'm like, you blind. You know what I'm saying? So it depends on where I'm at. But if you Chris Darden, you could just let this chill out, bro. You could have been writing books now like, I told y'all. You know, your book could have been called now, Told You So. You know what I mean? So I don't understand the purpose of this. I understand that in the court of law, everybody is entitled to a lawyer. I just don't understand why it had to be you.
Yeah, why it had to be him.
Yeah, like you were chilling. Like who hit you up?
Dug you up.
Yeah, and I know you're not cheap. Are you doing pro bono? Do you know this guy? Is he your nephew? I'm like, I know you're not cheap. You prosecuted OJ. So to defend him, I know you're not cheap. And where did this guy, Eric Holder, get the money from? Who is he? We need to be looking into his account. Where he got money from? He can afford a lawyer like that all of a sudden. Just one of my question is, I mean, this dude ran away. He didn't turn himself in. And you going to come defend him?
Mm-hmm.
Man, you just adding to every hotep theory that's online right now. They blowing up right now thinking all the conspiracy theories. It don't make no sense. Did you see that all the local gangs that came together too?
Yeah, it was a big it was a big unification out there, which is big because that doesn't happen every day.
Bloods, Cribs, Spiral, everybody.
Yeah, SAs, everybody.
United. Walking it. I mean, what does this say when we look back and we continue to the effects that you feel like Nipsey had on the culture? I think he was a pure definition of for the culture.
Yeah, he was for L.A., period. He wanted to uplift the whole area in the culture to let them know if we get opportunities and if we give the opportunities, it's bigger than what we think we have in front of our faces right now at this very moment. And I think that's probably the biggest lessons that he told everybody. He even said in his rhyme, he's like, I just prayed they give me options. I go cold turk as far as selling drugs.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's what he was trying to show everybody, that there's options. There's options. It's bigger than just gangbanging and wars and turf wars and selling drugs. We can do a lot more than that. With the skills that we have, we can do a lot more than that.
You know, one thing I'm actually gonna remember him for, man, this is kind of wild, but I'm actually gonna remember him for, he appeared to be an individual that did not mind correcting himself. I don't know if you remember that time where it was a meme that had went up or a photo that went up of a bunch of black men at this function or whatever. And pardon me if I'm getting this incorrect on what the function was about. Nipsey had reposted and said, these are, you know, I want you to peep how these are all real men. Woo, woo, woo. So it was implied or it was misinterpreted or it was assumed by the LGBTQ community that it was a homophobic remark because he was trying to say that this is what a man looked like instead of them showing, you know, other types of men, right?
Mm-hmm.
He corrected himself because he was just trying to say these are positive black men and the imagery of it. But he admitted that he could have articulated it better.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was real big of him, man, because he could have just folded his arms and said, man, no, this is what I think.
Mm-hmm.
But he saw But he was progressive enough to kind of see why you would want to believe what he said and how what he said can be a little hurtful and how it can be misinterpreted. And he corrected himself, which that to me, that small little gem told me that this is the type of dude that's about correcting.
Mm-hmm.
And he, in order to be a true progressive, you have to be looking at the flaws in your life and be ready to push. And so him being a Crip member, him being a gang affiliated, him being somebody who came from the streets, you have to be able to look in yourself and say, yo, I got to correct this. I got to correct this mentality, and I have to do things that are positive. And he seemed like he gave his hand out to everything and everybody, being associated with the people that was gang, being associated to Bloods that are the rivals of the Crips, being associated with the Nation of Islam, being associated with brothers and organizations in Africa. It seemed like he put his hand out to everybody through really walks of action. You're right. It was very, when I think about it now and I say it out loud, it was very Tupac-ish.
Mm-hmm.
Tupac had folks that was down with him.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't even really remember Tupac can walk through New York and be okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Even in the midst of that Biggie situation, because there were a lot of people that was riding with Pac. You go watch those YouTube videos on DJ Vlad videos or whatever, there are a lot of old school rappers from the 90s that be like, oh, that was my man.
Trish, Naughty by Nature.
All of them,
Trish,
right?
Trish has a tattoo of Pac on his arm.
Nice and Smooth. You know what I'm saying? Greg, yeah. Nice. They were like, no, that was my man. And that, not on some like, they was like, no, that was my man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we forgot he filmed Juice in the beginning, but he also filmed that other movie in New York, Bullet. And that was during the Big and Pac feud, and he was chilling.
Yeah, most of them was in, most of his movies were filmed in New York.
That's true. Above the Rim. I forgot all about that.
Mostly all of them, except for Poetic Justice.
That's about
which
it.
Which I think
right?
they filmed in Atlanta.
Yeah.
He wasn't in Boys in the Hood. Should have been. Well, Ministers, he wasn't in Minister Society. That's
right.
Which he would have been. But mostly all his movies that he's done, besides, I think Gang Related, that might have been filmed in L.A.
Yeah, so Nipsey, to me, remind me of having that Tupac quality of bringing a unit of people together and being associated with everybody. I mean, his association with YG, his association with J-Rock, those are two Bloods that are on record.
Yeah,
that are like his close friend, Schoolboy Q. You know what I'm saying? These are people that's like, yo, that's like down with him. You know what I mean? So I admire that. I think, to me, he was the pure definition of what for the culture is. We say for the culture a lot, and it's got become cliche. But to me, if you're not contributing, then you're not really for the culture. He contributed beyond his music. He contributed beyond just saying something. He had action. Look, it make me want to wake up and say, yo, what am I really doing? You know what I mean? When I start seeing all the stuff that he was doing, I'm like, yo, what am I really doing? And to me, that's what being for the culture was about, man. So this one sticks a little bit. When we look back on this, I feel like we're going to be foolish, but it also shows, I don't think it's a representation of black-on-black crime. I think that's stupid. I think this dude represents himself. This dude, Eric Holder,
He just happened to be black.
He just happened to be black. He represents himself. He don't represent me. He don't represent you. He don't represent all the black. It ain't no situation where it's like, oh, we got to do better in life. No, because you see how people are rallying up right now? You see how LA is coming together right now? That show you nobody was down with this move. Nobody. And I hate to say this about other rappers that didn't die recently, but when they died, we didn't see this. You know what I mean? We are seeing memorials everywhere. They had a memorial in D.C. They had a memorial in Detroit. They had one in Baltimore. They have memorials about this guy across the country. Okay? This ain't no something we were cool with. Other rappers have died. People tweeted about it. They were kind of like, oh, man, RIP to such and such. And the people that they were around were sad about it. But we ain't seen nothing like this.
Mm-hmm.
In some years. You know what I'm saying? Like, not nothing like this in some years, yo.
Yeah, about 20.
Yeah. in about 20, right? So it's just unfortunate, man. And I really hope that I hope Eric Holder get all. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm on record. I'm going to say this on record, bro. I don't want Eric Holder to die. I don't. To me, that's too good. I want him to live in jail, solitary confinement, and go through everything. I want him to get all the love he gonna get in jail. Get all the love he gonna get in jail. I've gotten older. I've gotten older, man. I've come to realize that death sometimes. Death is almost, what these people be asking for sometimes. And I understand that if somebody killed my folks, look, when people kill my folks, man, I wanted them dead. That's real talk. Like, I wanted them gone. But as I gotten older and I heard about, I never forget, man. I'll close out with this. When my man passed away and he got murdered, man, the dude that killed him, man, I couldn't wait to hear about him getting it. When I heard about him getting it, him, my right-hand man and my big homie, when I heard later on that those guys was out of here, when they were gone, man, I felt nothing. I felt like it was cheated. I want them dudes to go to jail, man, live a long life. Get all that love in jail. Get all that love. Get all that embrace. Security guard love. You know what I mean? Other prisoner love. I want you to get all that love in there. Because you took somebody's life, bro. And they didn't have to go down like that. It's I don't know what happened between him and this guy. We know what was said. But you know what really it's a testament of to me? It's a testament that we have not learned to solve our issues without gunfire. All right, man. So that's my take. Yours, you got anything else, man, you want to close out with this, with Nip?
I'm just going to say his funeral was actually scheduled for Thursday at the Staples Center. And contrary to popular belief, they were saying they were selling tickets to the funeral. They are not. They are not. That has been
it was reported they were selling tickets to the funeral.
Yeah, it was going to be a ticketed funeral, and that's not the case whatsoever. But there will be a formal statement from the family very soon. And, I mean, yeah, we just lost a big one. This one is a lot. This one definitely is going. We're gonna feel this one for a lot. He will be a martyr, and he will live forever. I mean, they may have killed his body, but everything he stood for and everything he did while he was here is gonna go on forever. And he will be remembered forever. I tell you that for sure.
Yeah, man. This one right here, I'm not like I said. It's sticking a little bit, so. There's no way to try to move on for the next thing. We're just going to say we're going to move on to the next thing.
All right.
I don't know if you got a chance to catch this. Beyonce reportedly have walked out of a Reebok deal. Allegedly, she walked...
Matter of fact, before we even step on that, I'm sorry.
Bro, what you doing?
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Beehive, don't get mad. We had to step on Beyonce. But put a pause on Beyonce. She can wait 10 minutes. But also, Kodak. Your boy Kodak.
We was going to get in that.
Oh, okay.
You got to pay attention, dog.
Oh, I thought I did. All right, so bring back Beyonce.
I'm like, bro, we just talked about this. Like, I got you.
Oh, okay.
I got you. I know what you're saying. I got you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I got you. We're going to get into that. Bayhav, don't get mad.
No.
So Beyonce, so, you know, long and short, Beyonce allegedly walked into a Reebok meeting. And I guess she saw the staff was all white. So allegedly she said, quote, no one here represents my background and skin color. And she walked back out. Now, Reebok, of course, is denying that this deal collapsed because of that reason. They're saying that, yeah, they had met with Beyonce on several occasions, but it ain't because of this. But, I mean, all white meeting? Let's just go ahead and say this was true, right? How tone deaf do you have to be that you got Beyonce heading up to your office to have a meeting and you ain't got no representation in there?
Mm-hmm.
You literally had all white and you thought that was fine?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you thought that was okay? Let me put it to it in this way, right? You know me and you, we came up in a radio game.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when an artist would come up to the station and all of a sudden we saw that artist poster everywhere?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it'd be like, boom, 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 poster. Like, 50 Cent, boom, boom, boom. Like, all of a sudden it's there, right? Now, the artist may or may not thought that was legit, that was genuine. But the point is, they knew you were coming. They understood that we knew they were coming.
Mm-hmm.
You know Beyonce coming. You ain't got nobody black around. You could at least just sit in the room, even if it's a lie. Like, you couldn't even go grab the Negro that was downstairs. Like, by the coffee machine?
Shame on you.
Like, how tone deaf do you have to be for that?
They just lost out on a couple hundred M's. I'll tell you that.
I don't know how true. I don't know if this is true or not. I want to believe that it's true. Yeah, I
want
to believe.
We want to believe this.
Yeah, I want to believe it's true.
Because nobody wears Reeboks anymore anyway.
But if anybody would have made people wear Reeboks, it would have been Beyonce, right?
It would have been Beyonce. At least the female line. Yeah.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like
should have brought them classics back.
Beyonce definitely would have been the one to make people wear actual Reeboks. So.
Yeah, but instead she went to Adidas.
Yeah, she went to Adidas. You know what I'm saying? So that's just where that goes. I mean, shout out to Adidas. I mean, they seem to be getting people that is upset out of the shoes.
They got all the good music. I'll tell you that.
Hey, but Adidas doesn't seem to be upset that people don't choose them first. They just seem to be like, you know, we here.
That's all. Come on.
I mean, do they have like spies waiting outside when people come out to other meetings? They'd be like,
probably.
Hey, Remember in the movie
If it don't go well, just I'm right here. Give me a call. Here's my card.
It kind of reminded me of the movie Malcolm X, where Malcolm and them used to wait outside the Baptist church and be like, hey, you came out playing for that white Jesus. Ain't nothing happened to you, huh? We got you right here. Like, that's what that reminded me of. Like, Adidas just waiting outside the corporate office like, huh? That switch ain't do nothing for you, did they?
You need some black people? I got one right here.
We got one right here for you, baby. Like, they seem to at least be smart enough for that. So,
check out my room. Kanye loves us.
Right. So shout out to B if that is true, man. A double backhand slap to Reebok if that is true too. So I mean, of course, I think we expect Reebok to deny it, right? Nobody wants to admit that. So
yeah,
of course, that's
bad PR.
Yeah. So we expect Reebok
it's
to deny
PR.
And we're not really expecting Beyonce to really make a statement.
Because she never does.
She ever. You know what I mean?
And you're not worth her time.
But I don't see her put it to like this.
She's not gonna deny it and she's not gonna
exactly.
agree to it.
Which is going to make it worse.
Yeah.
Because the Beehive
is going to leave it up to people to believe what they want to believe, and they want to believe it.
The Beehive is going to take a life of its own. So Reebok, people haven't been really wearing about Reeboks anywhere like that, but the Beehive might make the people who are wearing it not wear it.
You keep calling it the Beehive. It's the Beehive, nigga.
Oh, I'm sorry, Beehive. I thought it was Beehive.
No, it's
Beehive?
Beyonce. It's Beehive.
I've always thought it was being spelled B-E-Y.
There's no Beehive. Her name is not Beyonce.
I thought it was Bay High.
No, it's B.
Beehive.
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry. I always read it, and I don't
get
never
it right,
really hear
it. But they come for you.
Yeah, this is true. So we're going to jump off that. YNW Melly, you remember him, right?
Yeah. And he did?
No. He was arrested back in February for allegedly shooting and killing two people that was his friend.
I knew somebody was dead. That's right.
Killing his friend, two people.
And then he put a song about it.
Well, he's hired Bootsy Badass, former lawyer. Now, that's the lawyer that got Bootsy acquitted of first-degree murder back in 2012.
Mm.
So he hired that guy.
Well, it makes sense.
That guy made a miracle happen with Bootsy, because if you remember, we thought Bootsy wasn't going to come out.
Really?
You know what I mean? We thought Bootsy wasn't going to come out. But if you shot two of your mans and you made a song about it, I don't know how much people can help you. You might be one of them situations where you get a lawyer really to negotiate how long you're going to be in jail, not really you getting out.
Oh, he got the right one. He did his due diligence.
Yeah. I don't know what it is we talk about all the time when it comes to this new snitching era of you doing things, you can't just be quiet. But if that's true, you really did go out and kill two of your best friends, and you really did go out there and make a song about it when it's done, then I really hope you get all the love you get in jail. You should get in jail too. You know what I mean? They should really show you so much love. The long way. Long pipe way. You know what I'm saying? And some of you new young rappers that like to dress in a certain type of fashion anyway, them jail brothers, they like that. So they don't mind you coming there feeling all extra curvy and sassy. It's all good for them. So, you know, enjoy. So shout out to that situation. But if he hired Bootsy Badass, former lawyer, maybe that guy can make a miracle happen for him. Maybe. But if you guilty, you should just go. Getting to what you was talking about earlier, but just before we touch on that, Kodak Black has done a few things. Now, first, Kodak Black has been sued $500,000 for skipping on a concert. He was a no-show twice. There was an NY promoter.
That's not what I was talking about.
I'm getting there. There's an NY promoter who feels like his legacy was tarnished. And so he's suing Kodak Black for $500,000. Now,
how much your legacy?
Now, yeah, how much is
promoter's
your legacy?
Legacy is worth $500,000?
Hey, but listen, if Kodak canceled on you twice, it depends on how much money you was going to make out of those two shows.
True. Very true. Very true. Very
you know
true.
What I mean? Depends on how many people going to make. Now, Kodak is already dealing with that, right? Then, as you and I were walking into the station, Kodak Black on IG Live, which seems to be his best friend, is on there just disrespecting Laura London. You want to explain to people who Laura London is?
He's going to shoot a shot. He's going to wait a year.
Explain who Laura London is just for the people in the back who may not know.
Is the, well, now widow of Nipsey Hussle.
Yes. The brother we just talked about for about 15, 20 minutes, right? She has a child by him. You know, they've been together for years. And Kodak is on there saying some of the most wildest stuff. I know I looked up and I saw Kodak Black was trending. And I'm like, why is Kodak Black trending? Just like, he was like number one, and people were like going ham because of what he was saying, which is one of the things he was saying on IG Live when he says, give Laura London a year before she started hollering. Like, he was shooting his shot at her and everything.
Yeah, he tried to clean it up with another IG Live.
He said, Laura London, that's my baby, though. She about to be out here single. She finna be a whole widow out here. I'll be the best man I can be for her. I give her a whole year. She might need a whole year to be crying and shit for him. I ain't trying to shoot my shot at her. I'm saying, listen, she can do 2-3 years. I'll try to be like her friend. If you need a holler at her, show to lean on, she can call on my line. Unquote.
Yeah. And King of the South, T.I. came and made an IG post. Said, yeah, ain't nobody going to say it. I'm going to say it. You out of line. And you straighten up expeditiously. You know how he likes to put the big words in there. Now, expeditiously. And then Kodak actually commented on that post and said, or what?
Really?
Yeah, Kodak commented on T.I.'s post, on T.I.'s page, and said, or what? ? Yeah.
Oh, so, you're right. I'm looking at it right here. He said he addressed AT Rapper on Live and said what? Then he said, man, listen, I said what I said. Y'all trying to misconstrue what I said. Fuck that. I don't give a fuck about what you're talking about. T.I., man, I don't care. I'm in Georgia right now. Hold on. I think I got the video. Is this it? Let's see.
T.I. said, fix that expeditiously. Man, listen, I said what I said. And then y'all trying to misconstrue what I said. I don't give a fuck what y'all talking about. And T.I., man, I don't care. I'm in Georgia right now.
Yeah. I mean, go ahead, bro.
Yeah, Kodak, man, he's doing too much. I think he's begging for attention right now. And then he's barking up the wrong tree at the wrong time. I mean, they holding visuals right now, like Lauren, you need to leave Lauren alone. Like, unless you saying, I feel for you, and you sending her your condolences, like, you don't need to say Lauren London's name, period, right now. Like, you can't imagine the type of, like, hurt and where she's at mentally. Like, you want to pray for her mental health right now, period. Like, she called him her sanctuary, like, her protector, her provider. She called him her sanctuary. So that just tells you how she's feeling right now. And that was just that one post she put out since the death, which people have been waiting and stalking her Instagram and her Twitter to see when she's going to speak and if she's going to say something. And what is she going to say? So, yeah, it's just too much. And I don't know. I mean, I hope nobody pulls up on Kodak because I don't want that to happen to him right now, but it kind of looks like he just basically begging for it.
Laura London and Nipsey had literally just did a video on YouTube on some question love stuff.
Yeah, like, 30 questions or 21 questions.
I never got a chance to like look at it.
I didn't look at it either.
It looked nice though.
Once, right? I heard about it after what happened. I didn't want to see it. I actually
saw it on my YouTube timeline before Nipsey got hurt. It literally just premiered. Maybe
like
2 weeks
just
ago.
Did it. He just recently, think that Thursday before he died, he was in Cali doing. He did the video with Khaled.
Right, but the Laura London video had came out. You know the video he did with that. I don't know who's around Kodak. I remember recently, and I was talking to my homegirl DJ Heat, and we was talking about how, you know, Kodak, what J. Cole said in the song "Middle Child," like Kodak reminded him to do. I really wish he needs guidance for real.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's so real that he does. Like, who's around you matters. Who's your big homies matter. Kodak has been saying crazy stuff off the wall. If he think this is like a joke where he can come out here and just say something all, you know, crazy and wild and he trolling and it's all good, like, that's not what's up, homie. Like, you have to know that there's a line. This is a line. Like, you talking about somebody's woman when they're not here. Yeah. That is the ultimate disrespect of a coward. Like, that is the ultimate disrespect that you're doing to a man when you get at his woman when he not here. And you saying something like that, like, yo, give it 2-3 years, da da da. Like, and you on IG Live, there's no reason for that. Like, you're not being interviewed. Nobody's not asking you a question. Nobody's not, you know what I mean? Like, we didn't ask for this. Nobody came to you and said, yo, what does Kodak Black think? Like, nobody came at you for this. This is unnecessary. And then you get checked by T.I., you respond like, or what? I mean, I'm with you. I don't want Kodak to be pulled up on because I think we had enough of that, right?
Yeah, it's not the time for
that. But don't
make
it
to
the point.
No more violence, no more. Nah, we don't need that right now.
But look, dude, we've seen this route before, this trolling route. We just, your man Tekashi is locked up right now over this trolling route. We've seen where this go, where you just want to say something for the sake of saying something. Like, we've seen where this is going to go. How many things got to happen to you before there's a lesson that's learned in that of you just running your mouth? Like, it's unnecessary. It's probably one of the most unnecessary comments I've heard in the past, like, 10 years. Like, a comment that nobody asked for. Who was asking for Kodak Black's response on the death of Nipsey Hussle? Who?
Nobody.
I mean, like, who really wanted to know, kind of like Dave Chappelle, I want to know what Ja Rule thinks. Like, like who was asking for that? You know, it's like a 9/11. You want to know what Ja Rule thinks. I don't want to hear from Ja Rule. You know what I mean? Like, who was thinking about Kodak Black with this? But that go to show you someone like that, he's part of that era where the attention got to be towards him.
Mm-hmm.
If the attention ain't towards him, by all means, it's like he has to say something to bring the attention back towards him. That's like the ultimate disrespect. But I advise you to get it right, because if you're not aware that Nipsey had people in his corner that was really riding for him, that really respected him, like if you're not seeing your peers, the people you're in the hip-hop community that are out here speaking for him.
And not only that, if you don't think T.I. still got goons in the street and still moving like he want to move, I mean he old now, he ain't Tip no more, but he still,
I mean, people still, like T.I., Snoop, Scarface,
Jeezy, Gucci, they still Gucci.
Though, but those are individuals where people love them so much they'll go do work for them and they won't even know nothing about it. Like, Snoop Dogg got people that'll do work for him. Snoop won't have no clue what's going on. Snoop would approach you peacefully and say, hey man, you need to chill out. T.I. approached you peacefully and said you need to chill out. But I'm pretty sure they got people out there that's willing to do stuff for them that won't even tell them, just out of loyalty, just to prove to them.
Yeah. So it's not a good look. It's just not a good look right now. Somebody need to really sit him down and, like, show him, like, look, this is not cool. Let's just go this way. Let's stay on this.
I think he tried to holler at
line.
Master P, and that didn't go well.
Who?
Kodak.
Tried to holler at Master P.
I mean, I think someone tried to set him up with P, like, to be a mentor and all that, but I think it didn't go well.
How did it go well?
I said, I think it did not go well.
How? Like, what happened?
I didn't speak on it. I saw Master P kind of allude to it. And I've heard Kodak say some stuff about P on records that wasn't that hot. Like, if you Google, you know what I'm saying, like...
He's still down to pull up on you.
Well, no, P is... You know what I'm saying? P is, let me just type this real
he's
quick.
He's still like definitely down to pull up on you. He ain't tolerating it.
He's definitely made a comment. Yeah, it says right here, fallout with Master. Like, if you just type in, like, Master P and Kodak Black, you'll see, like, so Kodak, I guess, was claiming that P wanted his, you know, guidance for money. He wanted money for his guidance. So, yeah, they had a huge deal about that. You know what I'm saying? They had a huge deal about that. But like you said, he needs guidance. Like, he definitely needs guidance, because you saying this out-of-pocket stuff, man, it ain't going to get you nowhere. And we've seen this story before, bro. Like, you're not showing us something. We literally just saw somebody who was having fun with trolling. Mm. A rainbow-colored kid in 2018. Like, we literally just saw this.
Mm, he telling on everybody.
Yeah. And you see where his situation ended up. Like, bro, just relax, man. On a brighter note, on the Nipsey Hussle situation, I thought it was and we was about to get into sports anyway. That was a real touching thing that Russell Westbrook said when he landed the triple-double.
Yeah, 20 plus 20. Y'all know what that is. Shout out to the Rolling 60s, where Nip's from. Yeah, and because, you know, I mean, Russ is from there. Russ is from Crenshaw.
Mm-hmm.
Grew up in L.A. his whole life, went to UCLA. Actually, and then he's NBA life. He's been in Oklahoma City, of course, but he's an L.A. guy, so they were real cool. They actually know each other, so... Him, DeSean Jackson. There's been a lot of athletes that are actually from that district, Crenshaw district, that showed their love. So, I mean, yeah, that was 20 plus 20 plus 20. And on top of the fact that that is only been done by one other person named Wilt Chamberlain is crazy. So, I mean, that's definitely a historic moment that, and you see before the game, they was in the stadium, they was playing a Nipsey Hussle playlist. They was playing Grinding All My Life. So, he was actually in there and bumping his head before the game, getting ready. And then, yeah, he said, that was for my bro. That was for Nip.
Well, it was crazy because Nip was just at a game not too long ago watching him ball. So,
yeah.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's crazy. Russell Westbrook also sealed his third straight year averaging a triple double,
which has never been done.
Yeah, so that's just insane. And
somebody asked me who was the better point guard, Russell Westbrook or Kyrie Irving.
As of right now, it's been Russell Westbrook because Kyrie Irving has been going through some issues in Boston. Now, Kyrie Irving got better handles, and he's a dog, but he hasn't been getting along. There's been some chemistry, off chemistry with Boston.
Yeah, I said the best total all-around players, definitely Russell Westbrook.
I ain't gonna lie, I wrote down Russell Wilson as something that we, when I was putting up the podcast, in the bio, I put that in. So, also, the Final Four tournament is, as of right now, it's completely done. Texas Tech beat Michigan State, which I am sad about, 61-51. And
Virginia
beat Auburn, 63-62.
Charles Barkley was hurt.
I'm hurt right now, man, because Michigan State was considered the best team in the Final Four. We upset Duke last week. We beat them by one, but we could not get past Texas Tech. But shout out to the Spartans, man. You did well. Got love for you.
Everybody's anyway. Bracket's busted. Nobody picked Texas Tech and Virginia.
Yo, this joint has been insane. You know what I mean? It just been insane.
No Michigan State, no Villanova, no Gonzaga, no North Carolina, no Duke.
And we talking about that fresh.
None of them.
I saw your Dallas Cowboys, man. I know that's your team. Them, man, defensive end DeMarcus Lawrence had agreed to a $105 million deal.
Yeah, you also see my Pro Bowl right tackle, Lane Johnson, say, yeah, 9 career games versus the Eagles, 0 sacks. Put that $100 million on that. Wow.
Yeah, you have it. Also, yeah, I don't know. Is there anything else in sports that we missing? Well, the season about to close. LeBron ain't going to be in the playoffs, man.
Yeah,
that's
LeBron
weird,
is definitely out of the playoffs.
That's weird.
All right. So, but like I said, this year in L.A. wasn't about making it to the playoffs. I mean, he could have made it to the playoffs. AFC got bumped in the first round. Whoop-de-doo. What's that? This year was all about, all right, LeBron really came. We'll meet you there next summer. I'll be there this summer. Kyrie, I'm coming. Yeah, LeBron, you know I apologize. Klay Thompson, yeah, I'll be over there, LeBron, too. I like L.A. better than Golden State,
you know what
too.
That remind me
I
of?
Get, once I get this fourth ring, you know, once I get this fourth ring over here, Golden State, I'm going to come on down to
that
L.A.
That remind me the last time I went to Vegas, and it was like 8 of us that was going there, and like the people who were getting there like early was like texting us like, hey, all right. And we were texting back, all right, I'll be there soon. Like, yeah. That's what that reminded me of. Oh, you in L.A.? All right.
Once I know you there for sure, yeah, I'll meet you there in the summertime. I'll be there in the summer. Be there this summer. Klay coming. Kyrie coming. And they're going to be back in business.
The only thing that was moving on to, you know, new music was definitely not hot because Lil Nas X, he dropped the Old Town Road remix with Billy Ray Cyrus, which is interesting because the original song was charting on the country charts in the Billboard, and Billboard took it down because they felt like it wasn't country. But then he went and got Billy Ray Cyrus. It don't get no more country than that.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder what decision they're going to make then. But besides that song dropping, a lot of artists, especially in hip-hop, did not drop. Schoolboy Q said it didn't feel right because of Nipsey Hussle. YG stated that he was actually working on a secret album and he delayed it to next month. Even Machine Gun Kelly said it just didn't feel appropriate. So he felt like he had to delay this album.
You're not right. And with that being said, Nipsey Hussle's album was number 2.
Yeah.
So his music was new music.
Was the music, right? He got reintroduced to people, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's like he re-released it. So far, like Drake did So Far Gone, it was re-released this week.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I could definitely understand that, especially people like
6 million streams.
Especially people like Schoolboy Q and YG, who were actually close to
Bloods.
Well, Q was a Crip.
Q was a Crip.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Q was a Crip,
that's right.
YG's a
YG and J Rock.
But despite all that, they've been knowing the brother for years. They've been rocking with him for years. So that's a real friendship move to do. You know. So shout out to them. For that. Shout out to Pharrell.
Yeah, Pharrell, the vampire.
Pharrell had a birthday this past week. He turned 46, even though he looked like he's 26.
Yeah.
Pharrell has definitely been drinking up some vampire blood.
Yeah, Twilight. You want them Twilight guys.
From the Immortals, yeah. We going to all realize that Pharrell has been here before because he has not aged. So big shout out to him. It was also the anniversary of Nas' I Am. The album came out back in 1999 this past week. 1999, Nas' I Am. That was an important album because Nas had follow up. He had dropped It Was Written, and that came after Illmatic, and there were some purists that was upset with It Was Written. I remember at the time I liked It Was Written.
I liked It Was Written too.
Yeah, I thought it was I'm tripping. I Am came after Nostradamus, didn't it? Let me look at the order real quick. Like I'm really tripping about this. I really need to know this. Like when did Nas album had came out as far as because I might be killing myself with this. You had It Was Written. You had let me see, I Am dropped. But what had dropped in 90? Man, I'm looking at this one thing. It's all messed up.
You might not have dropped the album.
What you mean?
You might not have dropped the album in 98.
Well, I got the discography
right here.
Because
It Was Written was 97.
Yeah, well.
So you might not have dropped in 98 because albums did last a lot longer then.
No, they did last longer. That's true.
You could live off an album
so
for
no,
a year.
I'm not tripping. I Am did come out before It Was Written. So I'm tripping. Nostradamus came out after that, which was a trash one. But, yeah, I Am came out. And it was also the anniversary of Big Pun's second album. Yeah, baby. Remember, he dropped that. That album actually came out right after he died. It was the last album that Pun actually completed back in 2000.
Yeah.
I think if Pun would have lived, Pun is definitely a GOAT. But I think he's definitely somebody who life and career got cut short. Because the way he can rhyme, the way he can spit, and the way he sounded really clear and precise. I mean, he rap really fast, and you can understand him better than some of these mumble rappers who rap slower.
Duh.
You know what I mean? Hands down. So shout out to him for that. Shout out to all my comic book heads. They released a trailer for the Joker movie. That looked real dope.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, they released a trailer for it. It looked real good, man. It's going to be about how he became the Joker.
Oh, yeah. Like the Batman Begins.
Yeah. It was also kind of, people thought that the actor, Joaquin
Phoenix.
I make
you feel sorry for the Joker now.
No, I don't think you are. But they were talking about Joaquin Phoenix. They was actually talking about at one point people thought it was a movie that was just going to be called Joker, and they thought that people were playing with the idea of Joker. But the official trailer came out and DC already put their imprint on it as far as the comic book. So it's going to be. I'm interested in it. So, but the trailer, I need to see a little bit more. I want to see a little bit more for me to see it. Besides me just being a comic book head, is what I'm going to say. You get a chance to check out Us yet? You.
No, I didn't. I didn't get a chance to go to the movie, though.
Yeah, get a chance. Check it out, bro. You slipping. Before you know, these spoilers keep coming out and mess you all up.
Yeah.
These think pieces and everything.
Think pieces.
Right. People had these 24 hours of philosophies they've been giving you, man. But I think we pretty much covered everything. Like I said, man, today's show, the energy was a little bit off because of the death of Nip. We pretty much just said what we had to say about it. Eric Holder, I really do think you get all the love you get. I hope you get locked up.
The long way.
The long way. Million times
long
over.
The strong way.
Chris Darden, I hope you go back in your cave wherever you were.
He will.
My brother, you just gotta learn how to make. Yeah, you gotta learn how to make better choices, bro. Johnny Cocker's up in heaven laughing at you still. You just don't know how to make good choices.
You big dummy. Doom,
right.
Doom, doom.
Yeah, you need to get over that, homie. And anything else on your end, bro?
Nah, I'm just keeping it going. Man, I ain't got no Walking Dead to watch this weekend, but all right.
It's not coming on this weekend?
No, that last week was the season finale.
I recorded on my DVR, so I ain't check it out yet.
Yeah,
so were you satisfied with it?
It was cool. It was cool.
You liked the whispers? Remember, you thought that the zombies were actually... I didn't want to spoil it for you because I knew what it was in the comic book, but you thought that the zombies were actually talking, right?
Yeah, I thought the zombies were actually talking when I first seen it.
So how did you feel when you realized they wasn't?
I was like, oh okay. But I mean, I figured it out, and I was cool with it. I mean, I like it. I mean, I'm a lifer, so ain't nothing gonna turn me away from Walking Dead.
Yeah, they killed my man Jesus though. That broke my heart.
Yeah, I'm in it. I'm in it till it's over.
Yeah, I am too. I know a lot of people have left Walking Dead. They already announced that Michonne is gonna be leaving after this season, apparently. So I'm still gonna keep watching it for myself personally. I guess that do it for us as usual. Make sure you check out our platform on all social medias. We are on SoundCloud, Podomatic, iTunes. We are on Spotify, YouTube, and we got a couple live shows coming out soon. Make sure you check out the search engine and all of those platforms I just named. Type in Hip Hop Matrix Show, one word. Follow us on Twitter at WHMS98. Follow me on Twitter at JHeart Radio. This guy right here at DJ Academics. Be blessed, full, and successful. We about to get up out of here, and we'll talk to you soon. We ghosts!
It's the Hip Hop Matrix Show.